Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
It is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. We are back along with Frank and Barry, and good morning to you post-Halloween.
You just referred to yourself like George from Seinfeld.
No, Jimmy.
No, what was it?
Third person.
He's like, hi, you're here, Jonna and Carol and Frank and Barry. You're Frank and Barry.
Right, that's what I said, Frank and Barry.
You should have said, I'm here with Jonna and Carol and I'm Frank and Barry.
I think it's a little too early to be that technical.
I'm a pronoun person. I enjoy pronouns.
So you want me to sound like some sort of 50s newscaster?
So you
good are. Morning. Hi, and welcome to Happy Hour. This is Jonna. This is Carol, and I am your host, Frankenberry.
Squarepants.
Yes, exactly.
You like pronouns? You're a secret geek.
I am. Not that
I was
secret.
A geeky one of the group.
I'm not. You are. You're... You definitely are.
You are. Oh, man. Yeah, we are back.
Yeah, and it is post-Halloween. Any candy left over? I'm going to assume that the nature reserve that is your house didn't get that many visitors.
I got no human visitors for Halloween.
No.
I haven't had a trick-or-treater in probably 15 years.
You know why? Because you're kind of on a main road, I think.
And there's only like three houses in your spot anyway, right?
Yeah, they're not going to bother. I don't get them either here. Because I have a really long, dark driveway. I like it that way.
I got six trick-or-treaters.
That's it?
Two little girls that live downstairs, and then four kids that came about an hour later. So,
what'd you do with the rest of the candy?
$15 worth of candy is sitting in my fridge in my studio right now.
Fridge is a good place for it.
Yes.
It'll stay there a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Did you dress up? Did you go...
I did not. I had a long day. Halloween was a long day for me. And then... Actually, that was the day that we had that horrible terrorist attack on the West Side Highway, which is in my backyard, because you know that I have an apartment in the city. And I don't know whether it's that, like, the rest of the week just got, I've been very cranky.
Worse.
Yeah, it just, you know, because I think, do you guys, Frankenberry in the third person, you won't remember, I don't think you will remember this, but correct me if I'm wrong. We had a guest on, Dr. Orloff? Judith Orloff. Who wrote a book about empaths.
Yeah.
Right? People who are empathetic. And from that moment on, when she came on our show, she wrote a book and she talks about empaths. And empaths are people who feel other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, in a nutshell. And we had her on as a guest a while back. And when she came on, I was like, oh my God, that's me. Mm-hmm. I have that. I'm one of those. And I don't know whether because of that and the whole and the terrorist attack and a lot of other things that happened in the week that I have just not been myself. Very, very cranky.
That could totally be. You could totally be picking up on like a collective vibe.
Well, there is a collective vibe right now. It's been a rough week overall.
Yeah.
I mean, not in that, you know, the attack obviously really topped it all off and it threw everything off kilter. It was already off kilter leading up to that, you know, because you've got so much going on in the news right now. And so...
Yeah, there is. I mean, politically and then
politically,
and then
it's
that,
just it's a nightmare.
And it's been crazy. And so, you know, so Halloween, I missed Halloween. I totally missed it. But I tried to figure out, like, even up until this morning, I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what I can do to get this off me. You know what I mean?
Feeling that, this is so weird because I'm feeling the same thing all week long. Like, And I'm usually an easygoing person.
You're very easygoing.
I don't have a last nerve. It's just not even there. It's non-existent.
Right.
So this is such a happy show.
So I know. So we're going to turn around because I was thinking that. I'm like, you know, we can't just go into the show feeling all down, Debbie Downers, right?
Yeah. And welcome to your Sunday morning.
So, I know. Rise and shine,
boy, you're
people.
Glad you woke up today.
So I'm like, all right, what can we do to like turn this around? And then I thought of, there are some things in life, when I'm thinking about all the things that are irritating me, that if we were to fix them, I'd be happy.
Oh.
Right? So that's kind of a way to channel
it. It's kind of like a major pet peeve list.
So I have a list of, I kept it down to five because I know that we don't have all day.
Wow.
Five things that really irritate me that if we could outlaw them, we'd all be much happier.
So, hang on a second. Frankenberry.
Yes.
Aren't you at least mildly amused, I don't know if amused is the right word, impressed that she was able to whittle her list down.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of.
To five?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, this is Jonna we're talking about. Yeah. I was going to kind of jump in there and say, for those of you who don't know Jonna all that well, five, that is a huge, huge step for Jonna Spielberg.
I'm curious to see what made the list.
All right, so some of these things I took from the headlines this week, because maybe that's the source of my stress, and then a couple of them were just things that irritate me anyway. So one of the things I would like to outlaw, getting engaged at baseball games. Okay? I want to outlaw. Listen, I don't care if you win the World Series. I don't care if you're dating a former supermodel or Miss America or Miss Texas or whatever. The Jumbotron is for all of us. It's not just for you and your romantic, trivial frivolities.
Somebody's bitter this morning.
So mood based.
So do us all a favor.
Were you watching a game or something? Yeah,
well, Carlos Correa of the Astros.
Wait a minute. She was having Frank and Mary a little cranky parade, and somebody rained on her crank parade.
No,
here's what happened.
Here's what happened. Every news out, some dude in the World Series.
I just said Carlos Correa.
Is that his name
for the Astros? Yes.
So he gets all high. They win the World Series. That's nice. And then he walks over and he takes his moment in the sun and he decides to propose. And then every news outlet had to show it over and over and over again, like bang my head against. And I couldn't get away from it. So I'm like, you know what? It's going on the list. It is going on the list.
But you know what doesn't go on the list?
What?
With Miss Cranky Pants here?
What?
Is when that does happen at a ballpark and she says no and he's crushed. Now, Jonna, right now, she'll leave that.
Right.
That one's working. Yeah, that's what you get for trying to do it on the Jumbotron.
I might be okay with that.
See?
I thought so. It might be okay.
Yeah.
Not quite sure.
Okay.
Moving on. Another thing that happened to me during the week that irritated me. Ladies.
Because irritate you.
This was in a ladies-only bathroom. Do not leave pee on the seat. You are not a man. Here's what I encountered. I'm in a ladies' room. The seat is closed. That's clue number one. Something bad happened. Because we don't need to. Why do ladies close the seat? We don't have to close seats. In fact, we yell at men when we have to put seats down or put seats up. That's not us. Seat closed. Now I have to, with my foot, lift the seat open. And what do I find? A seat full of pee. Now, two reasons why I don't like that. Number one, I'm not an animal. Number two, I don't want to be blamed for your mess when I exit said ladies' room.
Well, so here's the part I'm confused about.
Go ahead.
I'm certain that you don't endorse skin to seat connection. So
Never.
Clearly the person before you Never. Was doing the old air squat.
Clearly.
So
when you get done doing the air squat, thank you very much for that. When you complete your air squattage, you clean up behind yourself using a piece of toilet paper.
Toilet.
And your foot.
Toilet paper.
Or extra toilet paper so that your fingers do not come in contact with the seatage. That is what you do. And if you sprinkle when you tinkle, don't be an animal.
How do you feel about those seat-shaped papers?
No good.
I would like your opinion on that.
No good. They are not thick enough to put a sufficient barrier between your buttocks and the public toilet seat.
This is not video, but Frank and Barry is just sitting here shaking his head and closing his eyes.
It's fine.
See, aren't you glad you agreed to do
this
show with us?
But you're a man. You do this all the time.
No, we don't do this all the time.
Oh,
we use urinals.
No, and when you're at home, when you're in a home, somebody's home, you pee on the seat all the time.
No, we don't.
And sometimes
you lift up the seat with your foot. And when you're done, if for any reason you grab a little bit of toilet paper, you wipe around, you throw it in the bowl, you flush, you put the seat back down. That's what you do.
I wish we could take calls right now.
What, you think I'm lying? That's just being courteous.
We would have so many women countering your position.
Hey, look, I can't control what other guys are doing. I'm just telling you what I would do in that particular situation. If I'm in somebody's home, I don't want them to run into what you ran into in that particular ladies only bathroom.
Well, I'm not sure people do air squattage as much in somebody's private home. This is like a public.
But we use urinals, so we're usually okay. And if we're stuck, and it's, say, a ball game, guys don't care, and no guy, any guy that's going to actually use a men's room to use a men's room during a ball game.
Wait, you're not talking about.
You've got issues, okay?
Oh,
yeah,
oh no.
That, exactly.
Anybody who does that in a public restroom?
You just don't.
What time is it? FCC regulation against this kind of talk this early in the morning on an FM station?
All right, so Spillboard, keep going.
Can I move on?
Yes, please do.
All right, so there's that one. There's that one.
I'm getting you pocket paper toilet seat covers for Christmas, just so there's no shock and
just
awe.
Just getting you thick elbow-length rubber gloves. How about that?
Moving on.
Or a P-mate. All right, then.
I would like to outlaw sweater dresses with a chevron pattern.
I can't even roll my eyes enough right now.
Couple reasons why.
Oh,
number one, I don't even like the word chevron when it comes to clothing. And the only person who can wear a chevron is Charlie freaking Brown. So don't be putting on a sweater dress with a chevron pattern. You look stupid. If you have one, give it away.
Where were you when you witnessed someone wearing a chevron sweater dress,
someplace.
And why did it bother you so much?
Someplace.
Did you just Google somebody else's pet peeves and write these down?
No. I saw a chevron. I saw a sweater dress with chevron all over it, and it upset me.
No. She just started the week really badly. And it just went downhill from there to the point where she's getting angry at ads for sweater dresses.
No, a person.
No, it was a real person.
Oh, it was, okay. She's
somebody
getting...
spent money on a sweater dress with a chevron pattern.
Oh, and I can just imagine her face too. Frankenberry, can you see it? Like from head to toe, scan.
Like she's choking out a hairball when she looks at it.
The scowl of disapproval.
It's not flattering.
Okay.
All right there, fashion
police.
Can
I just move on really fast?
Yes.
To get this off my chest? Okay. All those mattresses. Now, every single mattress, if you want to buy a mattress, it'll say, we deliver the mattress. Sleep on it for 6 months. And if you
don't
like it.
That's just gross.
Right? Not only is it gross, it's a lie. Who's going to return a mattress? I can't even return a pair of shoes or a purse. It's too much work. You are not going to return a mattress. It's a selling ploy. It's not going to fly. Those mattresses are going to go to waste. Stop it.
No, if you want to return the mattress, part of their plan is going to be that they will come pick it
up. Oh, so I'm just going to miss a whole day of work waiting for you to come pick up the mattress I've been drooling on for 6 months.
No,
I don't think so.
No, the first point is the real one. Sorry.
What?
That's just wrong. What do they do with
the
used mattresses?
They probably give them to a hotel. They probably give them to, because hotel, that's kind of gross. You sleep on other people's stuff all the time when you go to a hotel.
That must be what they do with it, because they can't spray it with Febreze and go sell it again.
No.
I mean, can I try out a pair of boxers for a couple of weeks, and if I don't like them, take them back?
That's gross.
All right. Anything else you want to complain about before we
just one more thing.
Talk about our guest?
Even though it is the happiest place on earth, I'm mad at Starbucks. Because this year, every year, there's a big fight over the holiday cups and the Christmas cups. And, you know, last year it was all red with no decorations on it. Everyone's like, oh, why can't you just acknowledge Christmas? So this year, they thought they got smart. And so this year coming up, the Starbucks Christmas cups are going to be mostly white. And you have to color them in yourself.
Well, aren't the Starbucks cups white already?
Well, they're going to be white with little, it's going to be like a coloring book on your latte cup. Listen, too much work. Number one, I want to go. I want to be festive. Darn it. I want to walk in. I want a happy holiday cup.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to have to create my own holiday cup. Why would I want to do that? Give me a Christmas cup. Put my coffee in it. It's bad enough I got to put my own sugar. Give me a cup.
Because if you have to do that much work, it's going to affect your productivity. And that is the theme of today's show, believe it or not. And I would just like an applause for that segue. Okay?
Yeah, that was very nice. Yes, you did roll us right into our guest who was coming up in just a few.
I'm pretty proud of that.
All
right.
Thank you.
So are you done?
For now.
Okay.
Yes, the first world segment problem is done. And we will move on to segment two. And we'll see if we can help Jonna be more productive with her crappy week.
All right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with small business expert Ellen Rohr. She's so much fun, very smart, love her. And she's going to be talking about delegation. How do we get these things done through other people? And then in the last segment of our show, we're going to be talking about, are you a control freak or not? As well as, I have a really interesting story out of Japan about what one company did. An interesting policy that they put in place having to do with productivity. You're not going to believe it.
In Japan?
It's pretty interesting.
They're very productive over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, when we
almost
come back.
Like draconian crazy, though, in some cases. So is that close?
I think you should hire all Japanese people for your company, and I think that would solve all your problems.
Really?
Because they work so hard.
Well, I guess we'll find out why our last segment.
All right. Well, Ellen Rohr, she is on the way. We're going to find out about how to delegate.
Yes.
All right. It's Happy Hour with John and Carol.
And Break a Berry.
John and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with John and Carol.
And Happy Hour is back here at K104 with Jonna and Carol. And we have a fantastic guest right now. Somebody that might be able to help Jonna out. If you were listening to our first segment, she had a very, very rough week. She wasn't very productive. And she obviously could have used being able to delegate some of that anger to other people.
Hey, put it on others.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Billy, do me a favor. Go give me a cup of coffee and be as angry as hell about it.
And pour it all over yourself.
That's right. Yell at the barista when you get it.
Yeah, so we are very happy to have with us a very good friend of ours. We've spoken to her many times. Yep. Her name is Ellen Rohr, and she started Bare Bones Biz, a venture capital and consulting company in 1995 to help folks of all ages just turn their big ideas into successful businesses. She needs to be on Shark Tank. Ellen is also a successful franchisor, helping launch a plumbing franchise to 47 locations and $40 million in sales in under 2 years. Can
nice.
You imagine? Yeah, she's no joke. Ellen takes ordinary, dry-as-dust business basics and makes them simple and fun. She is the author of 4 business basic books. Where Did the Money Go? Good question. How Much Should I Charge? The Bare Bones Biz Plan and the Weekend Biz Plan. We love Ellen. She's full of energy and insight, and she's going to be talking to us about delegation. It's getting
and I'm
things
in,
done.
I'm in a fantastic, happy mood. How's that going to fly with you?
Well,
it'll fly okay with me.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go offline together here. Now I'm so excited to be here, and I love this group. So happy to have you, Frank and Barry.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about getting stuff done today. And here's the special sauce. You don't have to do everything. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. One of my business maven friends, Nell Merlino, says you can have it all if you don't do it all.
I love that.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
I love her, and I love that expression. So we're going to talk about getting stuff done. Getting stuff done yourself, and then once you learn the basics, you can delegate. You can get people to do things for you. It's gotten to the point in my life that if I could delegate brushing my teeth, I would.
Hey, be careful what you wish for, Ellen.
Yeah, I suppose. That's a weird way to put it. But like, what I'm realizing is that you not only do you not have to do it all, I am the weakest link in every group.
Wow.
This one probably included. So like when you start engaging people around you, this could be kids, volunteers, friends, family members, as well as team members or vendors, you know, people that you've paid to work with you. So often we're let down because we don't delegate very well and we end up taking it back and being resentful and all that. But as you start to develop some skills for delegating, skills for getting projects done, you can have other people do them for you. It's so great. And they'll probably do a better job. Like, you know, every time I go, gosh, I'm not doing this very well, how about if you do it? I'm dazzled by what someone else can do if you just let them in on the game. So we'll talk about getting projects done and then how you can get other people to get projects done for you.
Well, and I think people just in your personal life actually want to help. And I admit I am a self-professed control freak. And even like as a simple thing, somebody's over visiting and we're done with dinner and I'm cleaning up, they'll be like, let me help you. I'm like, no, I got it. Like, no, I should let them help me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what if it isn't how you would do it? I mean, could you live with it? You know, so what if they put the salad bowl where the pots and pans are supposed to go? Like, would that be the end of the world? But at least it would be done. So some of it just becomes opening yourself up to letting it develop in a way that isn't exactly how you do it, but maybe it's even better. But projects are born from problems or from opportunity. So if there's some rock in the road for you getting what you want, then that's where a project can help. So a project is the solution to a problem. So generally, when I'm whining or when someone else is whining, well, you know what? We could do this even with, like, house cleaning. All right? For raise your hand. Do you guys have a house cleaner? Do you have someone who helps you clean your house?
Oh, Jonna has two.
Yes.
Two. Okay, let me ask this question. Have you ever been disappointed at how the house cleaner cleaned your house?
With one of them, yeah. Yeah, I have.
And so then you sometimes have to fire them, and then it's like your hairdresser. Then you have to go to another town to get your hair done.
Or move. Yeah.
Or move.
You
right.
Got it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because now we have, like, this weird awkwardness. But instead, we could help someone help us by defining the problem, by putting together a checklist, by clarifying some expectations, and then everybody could be happy or happier. That can help. So even with something as simple as cleaning your house, first off, Mary Kay is the one who said, don't spend dollar time on penny jobs.
Whoa. Love
that,
too.
Is that
great? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, you know, a lot of very successful women I know still don't like to let go of cleaning their house because they feel like, oh, it's kind of a space invasion, or they don't like the way someone else is going to clean their house. However, that time you spend cleaning your house is time you could spend doing other things that may be more productive, that may be more fulfilling, et cetera. So cleaning your house, even if you don't have if you don't think you have the money to do it, if you're trying to grow a business or a career, it can be a very economical move based on what your time is worth. So this is another reason why you might want to clarify the problem, create a project, and turn it over to someone else to give you a hand with it.
You know what, Ellen? One of the many things I love about you is you take things that seem like a quagmire, that seem like so complex, and you make it simple. I mean, that's the essence of how you've built your brand and your business. It's like,
and you know why that is?
Why?
I'm not that bright. This is what I mean about, like, being the weak link all the time. My genius lies in acknowledging that.
Wow.
Like, complicated problems go past me. Like, I don't get it. But if you can break pretty much any problem into some basics. So, thank you. I will take that as a compliment. And that's, I think, why I've been successful is that I look around. It's like the emperor's new clothes. There's a lot of not that bright people. I've been very popular in my career.
Do you think in general, in business and in personal life, that not delegating and taking too much on just in life, do you think women are more guilty of that? Do you think it's harder for women to delegate than men, or not necessarily?
Well, I sometimes it's fun to make generalizations with men and women or millennials and baby boomers, and sometimes I think that's painting with a broad brush for humor's sake, in which case it's totally worth it. But I think a more workable answer is that just people are different and people are weird. And there are like, I don't know, have you guys ever done a DISC profile or, you know, one of those personality tests where you're like a color or an animal or something? Have you know what I'm talking about?
I have, but I don't remember the results.
Well, those are, I think, fairly valid for communicating to the people in your life, be it your family or your team members, what motivates you, what's great about you. And then you can, you know, play on each other's strengths and overcome some of the challenges we might have. But it's just a way to be respectful, and I think that can be more important. But I will tell you that I learned from my mother how not to delegate. When I was a kid, this is what would happen, and see if you can relate to this. My mom would say to us, starting Wednesday, I need you kids, there were five of us, I need you kids to all stick around all day Saturday because I'm going to put you to work. We're going to clean this house. And we would just get sick about it because Saturday would dawn, and instead of giving us a list, divvying up some assignments, she would micromanage the five of us all day. Here, take this can of cleaner and go do that thing, as opposed to just like, let's put a list together and when we're done, we can go. And that really, like, we were resentful. She was mad at us. Every time that happened, it was this really awful experience. So that's where, like, I learned how not to delegate. Like, I don't want to do that.
So there's a right and a wrong way to delegate. That's,
right.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, and there are steps. So, like, anytime you can put steps together in a procedure, then not only can you make your life more sane, you can teach it to someone else. So this is going to blow your mind with your simplicity. Are you hanging on? Are you sitting down? Are you buckled up?
We're ready.
Okay. All right. So the steps of delegation are basically the journalistic questions. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Who's in charge? How much time, energy, resources, money are we going to put toward this problem? When is it supposed to be done? And then the final step is the how. How's it supposed to be done? But creating the scope of the project is so helpful when it comes to delegating. So what are we going to do? We're going to clean the house. And this you could do with your kids, or you could do with your house cleaner, or you could do with your team members. We're going to clean the office. Okay, so what do we want? We want a spick and spot office where things are in their place, where recycled stuff's recycled, the stuff that's going to go is going to go. And why are we doing it? To make it easier to find things so we don't trip over stuff, because it, you know, it's I want it. It's tidy. I like it. Whatever. Who's going to be in charge? So there's an in charge of the project. Now, it might be you with some help, or you might delegate the project to someone else. And what I found is if you clarify the scope of this project, somebody else can do it, and then you can just check in on them. Mm-hmm. So then you're, how much time, money, and energy are we going to put into it? You got this much for cleaning supplies. You've got Susie and Bob who can help you, and we're going to do it on Saturday, everybody. Or let's say we're going to do it on Friday. Now, it works. See, sometimes we take projects and just expect people to do it in their spare time. Give them time at work to get projects done. Fair enough. And then by when should this be done? And then the last step is the how. So how are we going to do it? And that's where you can do this all by yourself if you're working on a project on your own, or you could engage the team members. How are we going to get it done? And you brainstorm it. You write down all the things you could do. You divvy up who would do what. You know, could you sub it out? Do we need to go to the store? Could somebody get started? Will somebody else get started? You play with the house, and then you rock and roll. Now, your job as the manager, as the homeowner, as the mom, would be then to check on them. All right, but once you've got the scope and once you've given them the thumbs up, give them a chance to take a swing, and then let it be known that before the project's done, there's going to be some kind of a meeting or a touch base to make sure everybody's on the same track. Now, even just giving you that, just those basic journalistic questions, what, why, how, who, how much, by when, wouldn't that help as opposed to you guys are just in charge of cleaning the house?
Oh, my gosh. I think clarity is settling for anybody, and lack of clarity is very unsettling. And personally, anything that's asked of me, like if anybody's asked me to do a favor or create something or write something or whatever, my first question is always why. I really need to understand why. So I think when you give the complete picture to someone, whether that's your child, whether that's one of your coworkers, I think you're both going to have a more positive experience.
It makes so much sense. And the why may be, you know what, this is important to me. However, it helps if you can get some more purpose. You know? Because sometimes if the why can't really be established, it's okay to abandon the project. You know, sometimes we overdo it, or we're trying to get that, you know, we're on the point of diminishing returns with something where someone would say, could we just live with this and let people make a good decision at this point, or do we really need to take this project any further? So by justifying the why, it can actually take a project right off your list. Hey, are we going to make more money by doing this? Are we going to solve any kind of meaningful problem? Or has it just been on your list so long that you want to get it done? Why don't we just abandon ship?
That's a really good point.
Ellen, is it okay? And I'm asking for a friend. Is it okay if the why is because you just don't like to do whatever it is the task is that you need to get done? Like, for example, let's say hypothetically there was a person one day sitting at her law office, and she decided that there were certain duties that had to be done on a daily basis that she no longer wanted to do herself. So she assigned, hired people to do them for her. Is there something wrong with that?
I think that's the number one reason why you delegate in the first place.
Phew!
That you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Right? Because when you don't want to do it and you have to do it, it makes you unhappy. If you don't want to do it and you don't have to do it, now you're happy.
Well, I think the why...
And if you don't want to do it, you're probably bad at it. So here's the key, okay? You're probably bad at it or you're not doing it at all. So could you let someone else do it poorly?
But I don't think you have. I don't think
right,
you have to
not
worry.
Your standard, like at least take a swing at it. Could you live with it? That's what I mean about the salad bowl being where the pots and pans are. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jonna, I don't think you have to worry about the reason you're delegating. I think the why she's talking about is why the task needs to be done in the first place.
In the first place.
Like, you don't have to explain why I'm asking you to do it.
It has to be done. Like, that might be an obvious task that has to be done. We have to bill our clients. But you don't have to bill the client. Someone else could bill the client. Now, why would they want to do it? It's a stepping stone to another job. If we write a procedure for billing clients, this is part 2.0. If we write a procedure for billing clients, someday you don't have to either.
Oh, correct.
And a procedure is this. This is how you write a procedure. Ready to get underwhelmed with how complicated this is?
Hit me.
You do it, and someone else writes down what you're doing. You can tell them what you're doing as you're doing it. Hit enter. Go to file, drop down, and then you click on customer, type in the customer, type their name right. Right, you know, you just describe what you're doing and they write it. Here's another great delegation tip. I believe in keeping a notebook, one notebook. We've talked about this, John. Are you still a Post-it addict?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't listen. Why do I come on this show? Nobody listens to me.
She's fun even when she's cranky.
Well, with team members, here's what I do. I use a notebook to, instead of Post-its, put everything in one spot, and then I keep an eye on this notebook, right?
Ellen.
And then you can move it to lists, et cetera.
I listen.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I know Carol listens. Thank you, Carol.
Welcome. Kiss up.
Oh, thanks, Frank and Mary.
You're welcome.
Okay, so if I want someone to do something and they're not writing, I stop talking.
Oh, my God.
Like, where's your notebook? Oh, it's go get your notebook, because we are too old to remember stuff. Even at 15, you're too old to remember stuff. So, you know, if they write it down or flip to a new page and write the procedure, before you know it, you'll be living the life of leisure, so I can hang out with my BFFs and let other people help me make my dreams come true. How nice is that?
That's what we like. Isn't the whole point of delegation? At the end of the day, we all just want to be one of the housewives of New York City. Like, they have all this money in the bank. They don't work for it. I don't know where it came from. And they just get to drink and go out and shop. Like,
and get mad at Sophie Vergara for the fact that she doesn't know who you are?
Precisely.
Okay.
Did that happen? I missed the episode. Yes.
And
the thing is, too, sometimes we assume because we don't want it, nobody wants to do it. But according to different personality types,
there
are some people who love cleaning your house, love organizing things, love doing accounting. God bless them. That's the beauty of diversity, right? So, and it may just be a stepping stone job. So as we put a procedure in place, then if our cleaning gal wins the lottery or becomes a housewife on television, then we could turn that checklist to someone else. That'd be slick.
Right, but I'm sorry. It's also the beauty of you being the person who's delegating. The beauty is you have to know, though, who you're delegating to. So your job is to make sure that whoever you're delegating this stuff to is going to get some enjoyment out of it, possibly, and is good at it. Because otherwise it's not going to work.
Right. If they hate it or really don't want to do it, I mean, one of the questions is who should do it. And if that person says, this is really the worst use of my skills, that I'd listen to that. Who else can we find? Maybe we should get a subcontractor. You know, maybe we could find someone else. But I think that's totally legit, Frankenberry.
You know what I think big picture standpoint, Ellen, that delegation is really an investment. And I say that because when you're under fire and you're like, you got to get it done, sometimes it seems like the easiest thing is to just do it because it's going to take you longer to explain it to somebody else. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, that may be true, but the next time it's not going to take as much to explain it, and you will be more productive in the end. And then going further even to a procedure manual, that is an investment as well. But then you can duplicate delegation without the original investment. It is definitely
an investment. Okay, and you want to know the 3.0 super sexy outcome of this whole thing?
Ooh, give it to us.
When you start practicing these steps of delegation and getting projects done, and you'll fall off the wagon. It's a skill. You just keep refining it and trying again. As you do it and as you turn other people onto it, you teach them how to get projects done. What a gift. And in your suppose you have team members, some team members don't like change. Others are, you know, willy-nilly, bring it, doesn't matter. That'll be, you know, based on their personalities. But even someone who doesn't like change can support and embrace change if the change is presented in a consistent way. For every project, we're going to go through steps of delegation, we're going to have a meeting, we're going to go through the questions. That creates a pattern that even someone who doesn't like change can hang on to. How delicious is that?
Ellen, I have a question.
She's raising her hand.
I have a question.
Yes, darling.
When delegating, do you have to give the delegatee a reason to accept the assignment? Like, don't you think a delegatee is going to say, what's in it for me?
Totally. You can definitely tag a reward onto the project. We're going to get this project done, and here's the reward. One could be a monetary, you know, bump. If someone, like, suppose you have a juicy project, like getting a software program implemented, you could put a bounty on that project. And if it comes in to scope, right, we define the scope. If it comes into scope, then you're gold. All right, it could be something like this, that the reward for the project is that thing that's been irritating the heck out of you, we're going to fix it. So, like, for instance, the uniforms. This is uniforms at any company. If you've got a company, uniforms are usually like a sticky wicket, right? So the guy who hates the uniforms the most, if you lead the charge on the uniforms, you may get the uniform of your dreams. Would you be interested in leading the charge on this project? You're going to get the guy who hates the uniforms to say yes to that. So the person who is most irritated by the lack of the solution to that problem, the reward could be that we don't have to deal with that problem anymore. And don't discount that. But it could be the parking spot of the month. It could be, you know, theater tickets if they're into that. Ask people what a reasonable... it's not reasonable to give someone a trip to Hawaii for, you know, doing the house today.
Right.
But there, you can come up with a reasonable reward based on the project, and your team will even help you, or the person you're delegating to. What would be fair? They'll tell you. Great questions. You guys, no one's been cranky at all.
It's you.
I haven't experienced any crankiness.
You're having an amazing effect on us. You're listening to Happy Hour on K104. I'm Carol Pesci here with Jonna Spilbore, our token male Frankenberry. We are talking to a small business expert, Ellen Rohr, and she's teaching us why, number one, we want to delegate, because you can have it all, but you don't have to do it all. And this applies even in your personal life and your professional life, as you were saying. And you were simplifying... What are the major steps again, though? What are we doing? Why are we doing it?
What are we doing? Why?
Who's
going to do it? Who can help? How much time, energy, money, resources? By when? How are we going to do it? And I love what Jonna just added. What's the reward? What's in it for me?
What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think that we should feel guilty about delegating. I think people want to have a sense of contribution as well.
Well, we don't. I think that's just you, Carol.
We just want to make life easier on ourselves because we're the boss.
We just want to leave early.
We're a sharing opportunity.
Ellen, you are always full of love and energy and great insight. Where can people find more out about you, follow you, or buy your books?
I have a little freebie for you, and if I were organized enough, I can find it. If you go to ellenrohr.com, you can be my friend.
And that's ellenrohr.com.
And then, you know, put your name and email address. You're on my list. I'll send my blog. If you don't like it, you can always unsubscribe, but that way we can stay in touch. And if you do have a business, a really nice tool for organizing is an organizational chart. Now, if you don't have a business, you won't like this, so don't bother. But if you do, it's ellenrohr.com/org chart, O-R-G-C-H-A-R-T. And that can help, you know, who does what. The organizational chart can really help, even for a super small business.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Nice. Very good.
You're awesome. Call me anytime to play, okay?
Okay.
And let's go get on the housewives. We'll be the drain cleaners we'll do the drain cleaning housewives
New
Jersey.
Yeah, we need to do a spoof on all of that. Yeah, makeup, yoga pants. Yeah. All right, Ellen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. We appreciate you very much.
Love. Thanks.
Thanks, Ellen.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on productivity. I have a really interesting story out of Japan about what a Japanese company, a policy they put in place, you're not going to believe. And then you also, Jonna, have some stuff on how not to be a control freak
or how to be one,
whichever you like.
All right, this is Happy Hour. And like Carol said, we will be back. It's K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on K104. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frank and Barry.
We are back. We had a fantastic discussion with Ellen Rohr.
Love her.
Isn't she fantastic?
Her energy is off the charts. Fantastic.
Oh, she's great.
She even worked for you today. You actually perked up a little bit.
Yeah.
You were a little less cranky pants.
She got me out of my crankiness for a short period of time. I'm going to go right back in now.
Yeah, Ellen's a miracle worker. So I came across this story. It's kind of loosely tied to productivity, but I found it so interesting I wanted to talk about it. So do you have anybody on your staff, Jonna, who smokes?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
And then they'll take periodic, maybe not long, but they go out and they take smoke breaks and then
they come back
into work.
Yes,
well,
I don't like it one bit.
I bet you don't. So there is a company in Japan that just gave non-smokers on their staff 6 extra days off a year to compensate for not smoking, because they tallied up what the smokers were taking in breaks. Isn't that interesting?
So and is it also to incentivize the smokers to quit?
That's exactly it. So this company, their head office is on the 29th floor, so anyone that wants a cigarette has to go all the way down to the ground floor, 15 minutes round trip every time, just getting down there. So no. I find it interesting.
I find it a little stupid, and I'll tell you why. I will tell you why. Because an employer can limit the number of breaks an employee takes. So let's say you have to give your employee one break in the morning, one break in the afternoon. You can limit it to that, or limit it to lunch or whatever you're going to do, so that your employees who smoke aren't getting the extra time. So then that kind of reward system doesn't really work.
Well, the public statement they're saying here, the CEO of the company says, "I hope to encourage employees to quit smoking through incentives rather than penalties or coercion." So they're putting a positive spin on it. It's really not about really controlling those smokers. It's about saying, "Hey, you could have I'll take 6 extra days off a year."
It's like training your dog, right? You do it with positive reinforcement instead of putting their nose in their poop when they go on the floor.
Right. I wish somebody gave me a cookie every time I went to the bathroom. Right, Frankenberry?
Yeah, I'm getting older. I'd have a lot of cookies.
Here we go again. Come on.
Seriously, especially in the middle of the night. I'd have half a dozen cookies by the time I wake up.
Oh my God. All right. So instead of that, you have some stuff about control freaks.
So
we were talking about delegation with Ellen Rohr.
I knew when Ellen was coming on, I'm like, all right, so where is this going to go? This discussion going to go? Because people who don't like to delegate, and I'm sure we have listeners right now who are like, I just can't let it go. I've got to do it myself. Because why? People are control freaks. I am one of them. Although I have learned how to delegate, because there's so much that I don't want to have to do myself. So Dr. Oz has a 5-point plan on how to stop being a control freak. And I'll go through them quickly, but I will tell you what the caveat is. I think it's perfectly okay to be a control freak. If you want to be a control freak, you can be a control. I'm not trying to stop you at all, but just in keeping with the discussion, here's what Dr. Oz has to say about it. So his first step, if you are a control freak and you don't want to be, step 1, observe yourself. duh. In order to change any behavior, you have to first recognize that you're doing it. So take a second and say, oops, I'm being a control freak. Step two, figure out, now this is kind of cool, figure out what emotion is driving your control freakishness. So you might think, he says, you might think your stress is a result of how hard you're working to keep everything under control, but actually distressing emotions are really driving your behavior. So here are the 8 core emotions that you want to look for in determining why you're being a control freak. Are you doing it out of love, happiness, fear, anger, sadness, shame, jealousy, or disgust? And it sounds like to me, maybe if you're doing it out of the first couple, you might be okay. He gives us a shortcut. Here's a shortcut for control freaks. The emotion usually behind controlling behavior is, you want to guess? Because I know you can guess.
Fear.
Bingo. Feeling in control is a basic human need. So basically, if you want to start to not be a control freak, you have to get over your fear.
That makes total sense.
Of fear. Number 3, identify the distorted thinking and challenge it, which ties along with why are you being fearful? So you have to challenge that. Number 4, do the opposite of what your emotion is telling you to do. So that's like putting the brakes on. That's going to be hard for a control freak, right? If you want to stop yourself, that's like, you know, telling somebody addicted to cigarettes not to pick up that cigarette. It's not easy to do. And step 5, practice acceptance and self-compassion. So just be nice to yourself as you're not letting anybody take over the duties that you're doing.
What a novel idea.
Yeah.
And thus we come back to delegation.
I think delegation really is your friend.
That can help you get over that fear if you're able to say, trust somebody to do what it is that you're afraid won't get done unless you do it yourself.
Or won't get done right unless you do
exactly.
it yourself.
But you discover that, you know what, Bob is able to do it. So Bob has now been able to help you alleviate that fear.
I need a Bob. All right, I think that's about a wrap. If you missed the interview and want to hear it again, Ellen Rohr, she's a small business expert. She was talking to us about delegation, getting things done, and that's in the household, in your life, as well as in your
business.
Career. So you can go to k104online.com/happyhour. The podcast will be up there, as well as you can go to iTunes and listen to this show. Give us a day or two to get that up there. And any past shows, just search for Happy Hour with Jonna, J-O-N-N-A, and Carol, K-E-R-Y-L.
Can we also quickly tell them that you can see a video version of Ellen on, you could see Ellen on the video version of this show on YouTube.
NetChicks TV.
Yep.
Not this particular
Not this
interview,
one.
But yeah.
Yeah, she's done some in the past. So you can get to know her even better.
All right. Well, another fantastic show. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Frank.
And for the audience, we appreciate you being here as well. And we will be back next Sunday.
We're looking forward to a better week.
Yep. Better. And I'm sure everybody around you, Jonna, is also looking forward to a better week. 7 o'clock next Sunday. We'll talk to you then. This has been Happy Hour on K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.